Our scripture today is found in the book of 2 Kings at the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 14, and this is what is read there. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends words to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became very angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. And so I'd like us to focus for today on the subject for our text, a simple act of faith. A simple act of faith. We are a people who are by nature skeptical. We believe that if something sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. We also believe that if something ain't broke, then don't fix it. And we also believe that if something is broken, then it needs to be fixed so that it is whole again. But we have to admit that in the fixing of that broken thing, if the means by which something is going to be fixed sounds too simple to actually do what's needed, we will inevitably, because of our lack of faith in the simple solution, believe in our minds that something more or different is needed. We begin to ask ourselves those questions that then question whether the solution that has been provided is actually the right solution for the problem. Our search for the more complicated or that which we think is the best solution is uncanny. In fact, in the assessment of our health situation, we're often encouraged to seek a second opinion to ensure that the solution that has been provided for our healing is the correct one. And that's all well and good where the medical diagnosis and prognosis are on the table. However, when God gives us a solution for whatever is ailing us, perhaps the best procedure is to follow what begins and ends with a simple act of faith. So hear the word of God. Our story this morning begins by introducing Naaman, one of the main characters. It gives an almost autobiographical sketch of who Naaman is, but it also sets the stage for the unfolding of this spiritual drama. Our text simply says that Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram, and he was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though he was a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. He was a commander of the Syrian army. He was a brave man. He had been to battle many times, and many times he had proven his courage. He had stood in the face of the enemy and fought victoriously for his country. He had proved his loyalty to his nation and to his king. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. And that was the fact that stood out more than his bravery, more than his valor, more than his medals or his courage or his loyalty, more than anything that Naaman did or would do, was the glaring fact that Naaman was a leper. And how often does the world look past our value as people created by God in need of acceptance to see what was wrong with us? And we've seen it happen time and time again. They were a good person, a kind person, a loving person, a noble person, a courageous person, but... And behind that but stood the glaring reality of their disease, not because they couldn't live with their disease, but because others couldn't live with it. They were good and kind and loving and noble and courageous, but they had cancer or had AIDS or were divorced or were a single parent who was never married or was a pregnant teen, wore braces, was skinny, fat, poor, sick, uneducated, homeless, or suffered from some other malady or skin disease, dermatitis, plaque psoriasis, eczema, that placed them and caused them to be acknowledged for anything but what they were gifted at. And suddenly their disease became bigger than they were and affected our relationship with them and to them. This is how it was with Naaman. No matter what he did, no matter where he went, more than people would recognize his bravery, courage, or skill as a soldier, they would see what they thought was wrong with him. They would notice that he was a leper. But in the house of Naaman, there was a bearer of good news. There was a young Hebrew girl who had been captured in a previous raid in the Israelite land, a servant of Naaman's wife who knew a prophet that could give Naaman's life some relief. There was a prophet of her God who could work a miracle of healing in the life of Naaman and restore Naaman's life and make him whole again. And now the foundation is laid. Naaman has heard from an obscure source that he didn't have to live as he was living. Naaman could be freed from his brokenness. He could be freed from his incompleteness. At the words of a little girl, hope entered into the life for Naaman's incurable condition, or so he thought. The disease that prevented him from being all that he could be was on the verge of being a part of history, or so our text would seem to indicate. But we would find out that Naaman's disease wasn't so much as leprosy. What stood in the way of Naaman's being whole wasn't his skin disease. His skin disease was the thing that kept some others from being in relationship with Naaman. But the disease that so greatly stood between Naaman and his ability to be whole, the disease that blocked Naaman's path to physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional wholeness, was something more. There was something that was going on inside of Naaman that was standing in the way of everything he hoped for, everything he thought he wanted. And oh, I know, we could focus on all of the irrelevant things in the text. We could point to the fact that Naaman showed up at the prophet's house with a few expensive gifts. I know that in our culture, when we're invited to a party, it's supposed to be a proper etiquette thing to bring a gift. And maybe there's a story in there that if you're going to ask for and receive a big blessing and think that you have to buy your blessing from God, then bring lots of cash and a dozen or so Gucci bags and Armani suits and a letter of reference from someone high and important. We could even go so far as to say that it might be a good idea to have on board all of the people who were supposed to initially address Naaman's illness. They weren't on board and felt overwhelmed, trapped, and manipulated. But that's not the source of Naaman's disease either. The thing standing in the way of Naaman's healing and wholeness was not the leprosy. It was Naaman's pride. It was Naaman's sense of self-importance. It was Naaman's ego. The thing standing in the way of Naaman's healing and wholeness was Naaman. Our text is candid about what happened when Naaman was told what to do. He became angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. And then he went on to say, are not Arbana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I have washed in them and be made clean? He turned and went away in a rage. I thought that for me. His words appear so innocently that we're prone to dismiss it, overlook it as nothing more than an idle comment. I thought that for me. And with that thought, Naaman started looking for a second opinion. Naaman was suddenly raised above the cure. He had raised himself above the God who could provide the cure. Naaman had become so self-important that he almost turned his back on his blessing. Naaman was a great man and he knew it. And with his knowing it comes his need to be honored by God before the people as a great man. So Naaman shook his head at God's prescription for his diseased soul. Naaman thought he deserved more than he was willing and able to get. And he thought he deserved better than he was getting. He thought he deserved. Isn't it a dangerous thing when we stand before God with the audacity to think that we deserve anything? Naaman thought he deserved a more elaborate prescription than the one that was given for him. For Naaman, the prescription for his wholeness was too simple, and Naaman missed the point. Naaman got caught up in what he had to do and not what God was going to do for him. The answer for Naaman's cure was not to be found in how Naaman thought he should be lifted up. The answer for Naaman's cure was in how he might humble himself before God and discover that his healing was to be found in a simple act of faith. If Naaman was going to be whole, then he was going to have to let go of his own sense of greatness and humble himself to believe that God was able to do exceedingly more than all he could hope for or imagine. And if there is a word of God for God's people this morning, it is, what do we do when God's offer of an unconventional process for our healing and we follow our and allow our own pride to stand in the way of all that God is willing and able to do? That's the only question that throws our pride and our faith into the light of spiritual examination. Now, what will we make of it? Our problem is that as simple as God's means of healing us are, we're always expecting something more complicated because God's ideas are too good to be true. In other words, we face the same problems for healing and wholeness that we've always had. Some years ago, the Ford Motor Company advertised themselves as the company that had a better idea. And sometimes we think like the Ford Motor Company. When God says, try it this way, we become offended. And like Ford, we think we have a better idea. We think that God's prescription for our healing isn't good enough. How many times have we said, well, I would do it that way, but we've always done it this way before? God speaks to us today through modern prophets and says, love those people over there. And we say, why? We know better people and smarter people and skinnier people than them. We know people who look better and act better and think better. God says, love them. And we say, but they're black or they're Asian or they're white or they're Indians or they're poor or they're Democrats or they're Republicans or Catholic or Baptist or gay or lesbian or queer. God says, forgive them and be whole again. But rather than to wash ourselves seven times in the muddy waters of forgiveness, we'd rather some more elaborate way be found out and figured out so that we can protect our dignity and our self-respect. Rather than wash ourselves seven times in the Jordan's muddy waters of humility and be whole, like Naaman, we become offended that God didn't in some way come out to honor us, didn't lift us up, didn't make a display of God's self to show us and others that we are important enough to give special privileges to, that we weren't required to do something great and spectacular, something more befitting our own sense of human greatness. We want to be whole. But we become offended that we'd be asked to stoop beneath our status and do something completely unacceptable to us. Like Naaman, we'd rather wash in the purer waters of self-pride and ego. We become afraid of what other people might say, and so we'd rather remain infected with our diseases while holding on to our image of who we think we are and who we want others to think we are. rather than wash in the muddy waters of God's grace and get well, being fully convinced of the power and authority of God and who God really is, we'd rather assert our own sense of self. And when we do it, what we're really doing is holding on to all of the reasons that caused our disease in the first place. But it's not until we humble ourselves and go down to the muddy Jordan where God's grace flows that we can be washed clean and made whole. Become whole when we stop considering God's methods of restoring us offensive or out of sync with our own expectations. We're in a better position to be healed when we open ourselves to the reality that God does not respect our position or our accomplishments. Those who in faith can trust God to heal them are those who are most likely to be healed of their diseases. Those of us who will dare to trust the unconventional and at times muddy grace of God will be in a better place and position to become as clean as a little child. And how can God's grace be considered anything other than muddy when the dirt of all of our sins are floating around in it? Because God's prescription can heal our diseased souls. God's prescription is able to do what normal people of power can't do. And it's not a difficult thing to do at all. God doesn't ask for anything elaborate. It's a very simple thing for sure. And the remedy comes from God. The same God who provided the dirty water of Jordan to heal Naaman has provided us with another unconventional river to wash in. So when we come to God, our bodies racked with the pain of broken marriages, when we come to God, our eyes burning from the tears of shame, when we seek out our God, our minds dizzy from our own state of confusion, not knowing what to do or who to turn to, when our hearts are dragging under the heavy weight of guilt and we find ourselves looking for that healing balm of forgiveness, then the message from the prophets and God is this: wash yourself, not seven times, but wash yourself one time in the river of the blood of the Lamb. And all that takes is a simple act of faith. And one time is all you need, because the blood of Jesus can heal the diseased world. The blood of Jesus can remove the dead skin of apathy and the rotting flesh of guilt. The blood of Jesus can cleanse us from the leprosy of indifference and the cancer of hatred. Washing ourselves in the blood of Jesus can soothe the stinging burn of hopelessness and comfort the afflicted. The blood of Jesus can clean us up and stand us up and hold us up and fill us up and help us up and bind us up and straighten us up and build us up. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, black or white, tall or short, smart or dumb, sane or insane, cultured or uncouth, the blood of Jesus can heal a diseased soul. And all it takes is a simple act of faith, one that compels us to set aside our pride and accept that the only thing standing between us and our healing is a willingness to humble ourselves, accept the unconventional healing remedy offered by God, and wash ourselves clean in the blood of the Lamb.